thing, it's something that, but the number 30. And there you go, put a lot of stuff. And both of the songs that I picked out tonight, they're traditional Wednesday night songs, but I heard around and I believe you got the part for it. Oh, and since, actually both songs are like this, since we're basically, I may be going back and forth myself, but I'm trying to keep the direction.
Oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup, let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, grateful and mindful of all the blessings we have. Thank you for your mercies and care that you give us. Help us to always remember the things you do and have done for us. We are very blessed to live where we do, to be able to meet together without persecution. Help us to be more aware of others who don't have as much as we do, and let us see opportunities to help them. This time, we ask that you please be with those who have recently lost loved ones. Help them to find comfort in you. Increase our faith so we don't fear anything from this world except sin and separation from you. Give us strength to do your work and to stay faithful forever so that we can have hope of a home in heaven with you one day. Help us to keep you first in our minds and hearts. Help us to remember that you are in control of all things, and that should give us comfort. Please let us meet here at the next appointed time, if it be your will. Thank you for the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.
Would open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. Look at Hebrews has a lot to say about the superiority of Christ and his church, and it gives a lot of encouragement to brethren to remain faithful. And in chapter 10, starting in verse 19, chapter 10, starting in verse 19, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Probably a very familiar passage, especially that last verse. But what I want you to notice here is that this is a very, very encouraging section here that talks about what Jesus means to us and what his that he is a high priest for us, and that we can hold fast our confession without wavering. And what I want you to see here is in the next chapter, chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a very, very encouraging chapter, because chapter 10 is giving us encouragement to stay faithful, but then chapter 11 gives us a lot of examples of people that did. And so I like the way these two chapters go together. And so I want to just briefly talk about a few of these examples that we see in chapter 11, how these people did stay faithful, because often we call chapter 11 the heroes of faith. And it just fits right in with this theme of an encouraging words to help us to remain faithful. And so many times when we look at being faithful, if we waver, sometimes we have excuses for that, why we don't do better. And I want you to see how some of these examples can really help with these kind of excuses that sometimes are made for unfaithfulness. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though he being dead still speaks." So what I want you to see here is that sometimes people have family situations and they will give up because of family pressure. They may be unfaithful because of pressure and criticism from the family, and so that is a cause sometimes for unfaithfulness. But we see here that Abel was one that was faithful in what he was doing, even though his brother was not, and he remained faithful, even though it's something that eventually cost him his life. And we see in verse 7, Noah, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You know, there's a lot of things about Noah's life that I would like to know, and what those years of building the ark were like, and what the criticism that might have been there from. You can imagine, you know, the nicknames that he was called, and probably the ark was called Noah's Folly, because here he is building something that people probably didn't see as needing, anybody needing. But Noah was one that could have caved to peer pressure. You can imagine the peer pressure that might have been there to be like everybody else. And that's a problem in the world today, isn't it? With Christians that want to be like everybody else. They don't want to be different. Well, in the case of Noah, he's probably as different as it could be. And just him and his family that are working on this project. And in a world completely given over to sin, Noah was the one that remained faithful along with his family. And so we don't need to use the excuse of peer pressure. Here, you know, the Hebrew writer gives us a very good example of one that probably had a lot of peer pressure around him, but didn't give in to that and remained faithful to God. Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8, mentions Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So this is an obvious example here of someone that was asked to trust God concerning things he couldn't see. Have you ever run across the person or known those that, well, if you can prove these things to my satisfaction, you know, then I will believe. You know, if you can prove to me that this question I have, if you can answer you know, the problems that I have with the Bible to my satisfaction, then I'll believe. Here's somebody that had no clue about what it was that he was going to be doing, but he believed in God. And when we start questioning God, we put ourselves in the wrong position, the wrong place. And so there are many in the world that when they're asked to do something, you have to do this, this, and this. You have to jump through these hoops or prove these things. No, well, the problem is you would probably never manage to gather enough evidence to satisfy some. But here, Abraham has nothing except God's word. Here, I want you to go and do this. And he went and did that. Even his wife was mentioned here in the next couple of verses, 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the multitude, innumerable in the sand which is by the seashore. And I know many times we focus on her laughing, but here what is the Hebrew writer says about her is that she was faithful. She was one that even when it looked impossible from both of their standpoints, they trusted God and trusted His promise, and the promise was fulfilled, even though it was something in the future that they couldn't see. So Abraham and Sarah being those that put their trust in God, and that's what certainly people need to do today, is have that same trust. Also, Abraham is mentioned again in verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, which he also received him in a figurative sense. And so this is the answer to the excuse that, well, you know, God's asking me to do too much. You know, I can't do what God is asking. It's too hard to be a Christian. The things that I would be required to do, the things that I would be required to give up, that's just too much. And here is Abraham, who was asked to do something that's super, super difficult. And Isaac was the one that was promised to Abraham to fulfill the seed promise. And so it wouldn't have made sense, but we know how that ended up, and that God stopped him from doing that, and Abraham showed his great faithfulness in God even to do something that was extremely difficult. And so we don't need to use the excuse, well, God's asking too much of me. He never asked us to do that. And so, but Abraham was faithful in that. Also, in chapter 11, verses 20 through 22, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So what do you see here? We know a lot of things that happened after these folks, and we know that the nation of Israel was established through their seed. But if somebody refuses or is hesitant to become a Christian, well, I just don't see any future in it. You know, I don't see anything. Well, all of this was in the future. You see, all of this that the Hebrew writer is talking about is that Isaac and Jacob, this was all in the future, and they believed God about what God was going to accomplish in the future. And of course, that's one of the things we talked about in class tonight, that what do we need to think about in regard to our life and the way that we handle ourselves and handle the things that we have? Well, it's not about now, it's about the future. And here, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were mentioned as those that were looking toward the future because of God's promises. Hebrews 11:23 talks about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Again, this is an example of those that choose the here and now. And I often look at what Moses did here and think that would be so hard for a lot of people to choose that. I mean, look at what he's given up. He's given up being practically son of Pharaoh, maybe in line to the throne, and certainly having everything that he could want. And he chose hardship over riches. And so many, you know, have the world in mind because of its immediate gratification. And many Christians sometimes return to the world because of its immediate lure and immediate gratification. But Moses did not do that. And so here again, in these great heroes of faith, we see Moses as one that looked toward the future and chose something that was hard instead of something that was easy. And so lots of good things that we can see here in these examples. One final example in Hebrews 11, verse 31, the example of Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And sometimes people are shocked that she is mentioned here as being faithful as a harlot here. But this also is an example of the excuse that people can have not to become a Christian because, well, I've got too much in my past. I've got too much baggage. I God would never accept me because of all the horrible things that I've done. No, you shouldn't excuse yourself or exempt yourself from receiving the blessings of God because, you know, Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners. Look at what he was doing. He was persecuting Christians. He was consenting to their death. And God had a use for him. And Rahab here, she was faithful. She believed in God and she helped out in this situation. So let's not ever think that God has no use for me. God can use it. You can repent. You can be forgiven of your sins. And so when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you think, why can't I be faithful? There's so many examples here of people that overcame things, that believed God, that looked toward the future. They did things that were difficult. They chose God rather than choosing riches. And so many, many of the things that cause a roadblock for people to be pleasing to God and to be obedient to Him are answered right here in Hebrews chapter 11. And so it's here for us to use. It's here for our encouragement. And I hope that you will be encouraged by these things. And so that when the world starts tugging at you and things may seem difficult, that you can look at this for encouragement, because that's what it's there for. If we can help you in any way tonight to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come. Always stand and sing.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift.
Our dearest and most precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for the time to come together tonight, for the safe journey that you've given us to be here, and we pray that you'll be with us as we depart this place, but that we stay with one another in heart and mind and spirit, that we continue our journey together and through this life, serving you and pleasing you and worshiping you together. We're thankful, Father, for this group of brethren and those that are not here with us tonight are certainly thankful that they're associated with our congregation, that they serve as a regular encouragement to stay faithful and to live the Christian life from day to day. Mostly, Father, though, we do these things because we serve you, we are devoted to you, and we cling to you from day to day, for we dare not take a step without you. And we look forward, Father, to being with you in eternally in heaven, but that we are devoted to doing your good works and accomplishing your will here for us on this earth, that we may go through the trials of life and steel ourselves, build ourselves up on our most holy faith, ready to serve you in any capacity that you would have us to do, that your good works may be done, and that souls around us may know the gospel, see Jesus Christ living in this world through our lives, that you will continue to bless us, you will give us opportunity and courage to speak up and share the word boldly and courageously and openly, and that you will give us good voices to always speak and live your truth. Father, we pray for those that are sick. We have several of our congregation who are very ill and have regular chronic difficulties, always making tough decisions, difficult things to figure out in this life. Father, we seek your guidance and your wisdom, your care and concern upon each one, that as we continue to pray for them, that they will be strengthened and encouraged, and that in all things, Father, we not cling to this life, but look forward to a home with you in heaven and do the very best we can while we're here. We pray for your continual comfort and peace, that you afford that in our lives and in our communities where we live. We thank you, Father, for the safety that you give us when we travel. We'll be mindful of those who are traveling, especially the Jamersons, as they'll be going long distances in a few weeks according to the plan. We may these things be done according to your will. Will you guide them, bring them back safely, and help them to enjoy the trip? Father, we pray for those who are not able to get out and travel around as they would like to. May they still be encouraged, though they couldn't be with us here tonight, and are maybe not here on a regular basis at an assembly, but because of the provisions of life that they are unable to go where they would like to go and be where they would like to be, may you encourage their soul and spirit, and let the work that we do here be an encouragement to them as well. Father, go with us now through the rest of this night. Keep us through the sleep. Keep us through the darkness. Help us to arrive to the other side in the light of this world or the next, and to be living in you in the light of your life and your love for us. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.